Here's a familiar story. You finally figure out the boundaries that you need to set. You have them crystal clear, but when it comes time to execute, it's as if an invisible force field drops down and prevents you from doing the thing that you know is best. In today's episode, we're going to talk about what I call the monsters that get in the way from us moving forward. Also, two very important truths that we need to walk in, and five features of effective, sticky boundaries. That's a lot to pack in, so let's get started. Welcome. You're listening to the podcast, I Meant to Do That. And I'm Carrie Goodman, your host. I'm a married mom to four, a nana to two. I'm a recovering people pleaser with a dash of ADHD. And I'm also a certified coach and a human behavioral specialist. Have you ever found yourself in an exhausted loop, trying to overdo and overbe, striving for an impossible perfection, or maybe trying to please everyone and be everything? Trust me, you are not alone. I have been there too. Together, we're going to explore some conversations, topics, and find some strategies and tools that can empower us to break free from that conventional way of living, that pressure to be more and do more, so that we can be ourselves and we can do what matters most. So, are you ready to join me? We're going to redefine success, relax into freedom, and live authentically. Not just because it's a more fulfilling and fun way to be, but because the real you makes a brilliant difference that this world needs. And let's start the episode. Hello, welcome back. Thanks for joining me for another episode of I Meant to Do That, Boundaries Edition. This is our month-long series talking about how we can set effective boundaries. And it's my goal for each episode to talk about things in a new perspective, a fresh way, and zero in on something that maybe normally people who talk about boundaries don't spend their time talking about. And it's the kind of stuff that makes the difference. It's the thing that will make it so our boundaries actually are effective and have that sticky substance so they actually stick. Have you noticed that Post-it notes aren't sticky anymore? I'm buying the name brand Post-it notes and they're not sticking to anything. They keep falling off. I'm not sure if it's just me or if they've changed the glue to save some money. I don't know, but we want to have sticky boundaries. This is our third episode this month where we are talking about boundaries. But today we're talking about something very specific. We're going to zone in on what are the things that we're believing that are getting in the way of us having the sticky, effective boundaries. These are the monsters that we have to trample, and the monsters are made up of things that we believe that are just false about boundaries, ourselves, and others. So be prepared to get your shoes dirty. Don't have your favorite ones on because we're going to get them messy. We're going to be trampling into the monster territory and there's going to be carnage. You and I can be kind and caring and empathetic and still be willing to trample those monsters and move forward with some boldness because it's actually pretty essential. We cannot be loving and compassionate, empathetic people for very long if we don't have boundaries. We are going to be demoralized and hurt. Other people are even going to be hurt. We're going to be taken advantage of. If we care more about people pleasing than we care about our own needs and our own boundaries, we actually can't be the people that we want to be. Not really, for very long. We're going to go into burnout if we don't have the boundaries set in place and can maintain them. I have to tell you this story about myself. This is vintage me, takes place between the years of 1995 and 2000. When I was a young mom, I had two small kids and in the whole mom scene, right? I've been in the mom world for a long time. And one of the areas that I have struggled with setting boundaries is with other moms, just the mom friends that I've been around. And this is a classic. I would always plan fun things for me and my friends to do. I was never very good at being by myself and being home and doing housework. Never good at that. I can keep the house clean just enough. I am not someone who gets pretty jazzed about decorating, housework, things like that. And so just being home with the kids day in and day out was very hard. And so my way of handling that was to become the Julie of the Love Boat for the mom. So I did all of the cruise social director type of stuff. I would plan zoo days, park days, rainy day planning of things in my home. We'd have snacks and crafts and I'd have everything all ready. We would go to museums. We would have movie nights, all of that. And my friends would generally be pretty happy to join in and have me make the plans, and they just had to show up. In fact, if a friend was, maybe she didn't have some stuff to pack lunches in her house and didn't want to run to the grocery store, I was a friend that would say, no problem, I'll pack lunch for you and your three kids. So just come and I'll pack the snacks. I'll do whatever it is just to make life easier for you so that you can come and have fun. Then when we would be at the place all together, it might be four or five moms with all the kids, and we'd be sitting and hanging out. And you know, if you were a mom, you know, if you are a mom, you know it's great to get a break. So we'd all be sitting at the picnic table, chatting and stuff. But if I saw one of the kids, not my own, someone else's kid, maybe sitting on the swing with that look in their eye, that longing, like, I wish someone would give me a starter push, I would be up, away from the table, and often pushing that kid. I'd always get up and excuse myself from the moms to help them out before they'd even ask. And then it came to the point where it was expected, where everyone knew they could relax and hang out because Carrie doesn't mind. She's going to take care of the kids. If there's a problem, if someone needs, if they're stuck in those tubes in McDonald's. Okay, back in the 90s, there were these amazing playlands in McDonald's with ball pits and a maze of tubes and slides and things. And in Minnesota, it's cold in the winters, and the winters are long. So we will go to those germ-infested playlands just so we can get together and the kids can play and we can have like a Diet Coke and some fries and chat. And so I would be the one, I would even go, believe it or not, there would be some lady sitting across the way, not even in our group, her kid's up there crying, she's reading a book. I would say, hey, is that your kid? She was like, oh, yeah. And I would say, I'll go and get your kid down. I don't mind if you want me to. She'd say, yes, please go into the tube of germs and go get my kid. And I would do it. Now, I love kids. I love other people's kids. I've worked with kids my whole life. But still, it was more than necessary. And I was hurting myself. I'd come home and think sometimes in my low points, do my friends even like me? They don't make the plans. They don't invite me to things. I'm always doing the planning. And I'm the one who gets up from the table so they can hang out and chat and have their girl time. I'm the one who gets up and takes care of the problems. I'm the one who gets the snacks. I started to feel taken advantage of, even though I had kind of set up the scenario for myself. But to be honest, at times I was taken advantage of because I didn't have those boundaries that teach people, hey, this is how I want to be treated. So young me did not ever establish good boundaries with that friend group. And young me did not establish good boundaries with my mom friends in my next friend group when I had moved to a new state. But over time, I started to learn and grow up and did learn how to establish better boundaries. But back then, even if I would have had all of the elements, all of those features of a good boundary, I don't think I would have been able to put it forward because of those false beliefs that I had. If you right now have a boundary that you want to set, you know that you want to create a new pattern of being in your life, which is basically what a pattern is, and you have all of the features of an effective boundary, then noticing what your little monsters are and being able to go forward and recognize how to set that boundary in spite of it, or maybe even removing it, is going to help you have something that sticks. Now, do you have those effective boundary features? Maybe you're wondering what I'm talking about. Okay, let's back up a little bit, and I'm going to share with you the 5 features of effective boundaries. The first one is that it will focus on something that is 100% yours. It's within your control. It's something that you can do. It's something that's in your best interest. It's focused on stuff that you can do something about. It doesn't mean other people have to cooperate with it. It's fully something for you. Now, the example that I used at the park, I totally can do that. I can decide just to sit at the table and not get up and help the other mom's kids because she has 2 legs and 2 arms and 2 ears and 1 mouth, and she can go and take care of the problem. She didn't need me to do it. I could just stay sitting down and just be focused on the conversation and pretend I don't even notice what's going on, if that helps me. The second thing that is an effective boundary feature is that you've thought them through ahead of time and you've practiced it. It's something that you can specifically name the boundary to yourself. You don't have to say it to other people. Sometimes it's helpful, but not always. But you know you can say it to yourself. Like with the park, I could tell myself, on Tuesday, I'm going to just be in the conversation and be as equally important as everyone else in the friendship group. And this is what it's going to look like. And when a child starts to fuss and people ignore their kid because they're used to me getting up and doing it, I'm just going to smile and nod and stay in the conversation. Okay, so that's what that looks like. The third feature of an effective boundary is that it does not stretch us to the point where we feel like we're going to break. We don't decide suddenly we're going to jump up 8 levels from where we are and try to do something that is, we're just not ready to do it. It's okay to set a boundary that's smaller. It's okay to start in one place and then you can add to it later on. You can, even if you recognize that it's a little too much, you can pull back and subtract a little bit. So that helps it be effective. The fourth one is that you know that you can remain firm in discomfort. We talked about the discomfort of boundaries in the last episode and how hard that can be and how we need to expect that we're going to have those kind of feelings, and we might feel fear and all that, but we can endure it, and we might even feel that void of loss. So we need to be able to remain firm and we can endure those negative feelings. And if we have that second guessing going on, we have a plan of what we're going to do when we start to second guess. If we have that in place, we're ready to set a boundary. And then the fifth one is that our boundaries are always going to respect the individuality of others, that everyone else gets to choose what they're going to do. And that's why boundaries are a respectful way to live, because we stop trying to control other people. Sometimes we don't set a boundary because we don't want to stop managing other people's problems. We don't want to stop controlling people. We never see it as controlling. We see it as caring a lot and helping, but it can be controlling. So some of us might need to chew on that for a little bit, because that's a hard one. That's a hard one to digest. But we definitely have a struggle sometimes with over-caring to the point where it gets to control. But that fifth element, respecting others' individuality, is very important when we're setting our boundaries. We need to accept that their responses are their responses, and we keep our boundaries regardless of their response to it. And that can be really hard. I know I have set boundaries before with a person, and the way that they responded to it, trying to get me to adjust. And when I didn't adjust, that person decided they didn't want to have anything to do with me anymore. And that sometimes can happen. And it's hard. We have to be prepared for it. We also have to be willing to let those natural consequences happen sometimes with our boundaries. So those are the five pieces of an effective boundary. Now, let's say you know and I know the boundary that we want to set. We have spent some time making sure that we have those things in place so we have the greatest chance of setting a boundary and it sticking and not falling off like a post-it note where it gets stuck to the bottom of someone's shoe and dragged all around, and then we're in a worse place than we were before we even set the boundary. The next piece is we want to look at what are our own little personal false beliefs that we're holding onto way too tight, and it's time to trample them. I've thought of five of them. I'm going to read those to you. You just let them simmer. See if any of them resonate with you and sound familiar. And if you have some to add to the list, I would love to hear the other monsters that you've come across. So send those to me. I would love to hear them. But here's the five I came up with. Oh, doing that would be selfish. I am making myself a priority here, and it's selfish of me to do that. So we don't make the new pattern. We don't create the boundary because of that epic, I don't want to be selfish, which I feel like women, we can easily fall into that. The second one is, I'm going to do it later. It's the classic Scarlett O'Hara, I'll worry about that tomorrow. I'll worry about that tomorrow. I can do that later. I can continue to tolerate this situation, this scenario. I can keep going through it. I'm not at the end of my rope yet. Some of us live life as if we're supposed to keep going till we reach the end of our rope. Do you resonate with that? The third one is it might cause someone to be put out and we do not want to rock the boat. If we can set a boundary and nobody else is affected, that is the prime example of perfection with boundaries, right? But we rarely ever can set a boundary in a situation like that. Someone else is going to be affected by it, and it might rock the boat. Things might be different, and that might be your monster. The next one is a hard one for me. It might cost money. What if setting your boundary is going to mean you lose money or you have to spend money on something? There's some effect to the finances, and there's that little monster saying, you really can't spend money on something if it's only because it makes life better for you, easier for you, less frustrating for you, or helps you move forward your goal. Just find a way to do it where it isn't going to cost money. The fifth one, the reason why you will not set that boundary you know needs to be set is people are depending on you. They're depending on you. That's the reason why we say yes to so many things. Once we make a commitment, we can't set it back down. We can't give it back to people. We take on their problems and we hold them and we keep going with it long past the time that we recognize it's time to give this back. I don't need to be doing this anymore, but we keep doing it because of that little monster voicing, they're depending on you. You've got to follow through. You've got to keep your promise. What's going to happen if you set a different pattern of how you're living, what you're doing, what you're saying yes to? That is a tricky one, isn't it? So what do you think? Have you come across one or all five of those monsters when you're just about ready to make a change and set a boundary? I've dabbled in all five of them. I think for me, that selfishness one is the one that I run up against more than the others. And I have done some work to figure out why. I know that I've had too many experiences with a lot of extreme selfishness and self-focusedness and dishonesty that I want to be the polar opposite of that. No matter what of these five or the other monsters out there that you know of that I haven't mentioned, I think that they come from two main sources. I think these are like the parents of the monsters. One is you're responsible for way too much stuff. You feel that overload of responsibility and having things that aren't yours be yours. And the other one is the parent monster that says you do not matter as much as anybody else, and that's okay. Think about that for a minute. Do those sound familiar to you? Even If you're an ambitious person, you feel like you're pretty successful. You've got things going for you. You would not describe yourself as someone who is depressive or anxious. That can still be an undercurrent of feeling like you don't matter as much, and that's okay. And I'm gonna throw one third one in there, and I'm cautious to even bring it up, but I'm gonna bring it up. And that is fate. We might have some of these monsters because we feel like we're not able to control anything. We're not able to make those decisions. We just live in this world where whatever is gonna happen is gonna happen. It's all been predetermined, or it's not really up to me anyway. And in the Christian world, that comes into just stop and pray harder about it and wait for God to do something about it. I'm gonna stop there because that could be a whole nother 30-minute conversation. But those first two parents are major. And when we are living in that, and that's kind of that undercurrent going on, that's spawning all the baby monsters, we're not living in truth because both of those things are not true. And when we're not living in true and walking in what's true, there's all kinds of inner conflict that goes on because you and I were meant to be in the truth, right? And you and I definitely matter. We matter just as much as other people. The thing is you can elevate other people while not devaluing yourself. I would like to go back in time to younger me at the park bench. And I'd like to tell young Carrie mom that she matters just as much as those other moms, and her getting a break, hanging out, having conversation, and having that belonging, that's for her too. Your boundaries help you establish that you matter and that you have things that are within your responsibility, and it is up to you to make that happen. It's not up to fate or other people. That's the thing too, is sometimes when we are not setting our boundaries and managing what's ours, well, we can start to expect or want other people to take care of our stuff. That's another episode for another time. I'm telling you, we could talk about boundaries forever, but we won't. So just to recap, your boundaries will be sticky if you have those five features. Your boundaries will be even more sticky if you do not have those monsters getting in the way and stopping you from actually setting them and going forward. We got to get our shoes dirty and trample those monsters. I am not a boundaries expert. I don't feel like I have this down pat and I could give myself an A+. I'm not at level 10, but I'm just somebody who has struggled with this for so long and have seen a remarkable difference when I have learned these principles. And for goodness sake, we have got to be kind to ourselves because nobody gets us perfect. And life is always throwing new things at us that we're going to learn through. We don't need to do this perfectly. We can make mistakes, and that's okay. That's it. I hope you guys have a great day. Make sure you subscribe, you like, you come back, and you listen to the next episode. And I'm all ears. I would love to hear your feedback. Bye. Thank you so much for listening. The best way that you can support this podcast is by hitting subscribe or like wherever you're listening to your podcast. Leave a rating and a review, and also send these out to your friends. You'll find links to all of the resources mentioned today in the show notes. Visit carriegoodman.com. On my website, I offer free resources as well as opportunities for group coaching, workshops, and soon to be courses. So check that out. Remember, it's for freedom that Christ set you free. Be yourself. Enjoy today. This world needs you. Till next time.